The following is an audio recording for Da Vivienda on Tuesday, November 21st, 2017 at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Good morning. My name is Jonathan, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Da Vivienda Third Quarter 2017 Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. I will now turn the conference over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Mr. Borja, please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Da Vivienda Third Quarter 2017 Earnings Conference Call. Today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. If you are a member of the media, please contact the company directly. Joining us today from Bogotá, Colombia, are Mr. Efraín Forero Fonseca, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Ricardo León Otero, Chief Risk Officer. They will be discussing the results for the press release distributed yesterday. If you have not yet received a copy of the earnings report, please visit www.davivienda.com on the Investor Relations section, where there is also a webcast presentation to accompany the discussion during this call. If you need any assistance, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that any forward-looking statements made today by Davivienda's management are subject to various conditions and may differ materially. These conditions are outlined in the last page of the company's press release, the disclaimer, and we ask that you refer to it for guidance. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Efraín Forero, Chief Executive Officer of Davivienda, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Forero, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafael. It is a great pleasure to visit everyone in our meeting to share the results of Banco Davivienda for the third quarter of 2017. I would like to start talking about the macroeconomic aspects that show that the economic activity remains weak. In the third quarter of the year, Colombia registered an annual growth of 2% compared to 1.2% of the previous quarter. This growth was associated to a 7.1% increase in the agricultural sector. On the other hand, total inflation maintains the same downward trend observed in previous months. The third quarter began with an annual inflation of 3.4%. Subsequently, upward pressures were observed in the prices of regulated goods and food that led to 3.97% in September. Despite this, annual inflation remains within the target range of the central bank. The exchange rate reached an average in the quarter of 2,976 pesos, showing a slight devaluation against the previous quarter, 2,920 pesos. We highlight the behavior of the exchange rate in September, a month where rates below 2,900 pesos were recorded. In the third quarter of the year, the central bank decreased its monetary policy rate by 50 basis points, bringing it down to 5.25% in September. By the end of October, the bank continued to reduce the rate standing at 5%. With this, the total reduction during the year amounted to 250 basis points. Moving to slide 5, we can see the most relevant aspect of the macroeconomic situation in Central America. In Salvador, the approval of the pension reform and the issuance of external debt reduced the short-term pressure on public finance. This event led to an improvement in sovereign risk rating for El Salvador. Standard & Poor's upgraded it to CCC plus from selected default and Fitch to B minus from CCC. The economy grew 2.3% annually in the second quarter of 2017, below the growth of 2.4% for the same period of the previous year. As for Costa Rica, it presented a slowdown in the economic growth for the second quarter of 2017. The annual increase of the gross domestic product in the period was 4%, while for the same quarter of the previous year it was 4.3%. On the other hand, the Latin American Fund of Reserve approved a $1 billion credit line to the Central Bank of Costa Rica in order to reinforce the international reserves of the country. Panama registered an acceleration of economic growth. It grew by 5.4% in the second quarter of 2017, while in the same period of 2016 by 5.3%. The inauguration of the expanded channel continues to boost the transport sector within the GDP. Lastly, in Honduras, in the second quarter of 2017, Standard & Poor's upgraded the rating from B+ to B-, and moving from B2 to B1. The improvements are attributed to the progress in fiscal matters. The country registered an acceleration of economic growth in the second quarter of 2017. GDP growth was 4.4% above the 4% in the previous year. I would like to invite you to go to slide 6, where we will highlight the main results of the bank of the third quarter of September 2017. The gross loan portfolio had an annual growth of 9.2%, in line with our expectations. This growth is mainly due to the behavior of Colombia's portfolio, which grew 9.9% in the last 12 months. Positive dynamics are presented in the consumer and mortgage portfolio. The financial system in Colombia grows as of August at a rate of 6.1%. Regarding our operation in Central America, the portfolio grew 4.7% in dollars, mainly in Costa Rica and Salvador, led by the mortgage and consumer portfolio. Accumulated portfolio revenues grew by 11.4% as of September 2017, driven by the consumer portfolio revenue, which grew by 20%, and mortgage revenue by 9%. Regarding financial expense, we observe less pressure on the funding cost, with an annual growth of 9.6% and quarterly decrease of 6% compared to the second quarter of 2017. Compared to the third quarter of last year, funding costs decreased around 7%. As a result, we increased our net interest margin ratio, which reached 6.4%, 7 basis points higher than the one reported in the previous quarter. In addition, total solvency ratio increased 94 basis points compared to the same quarter last year, mainly due to the capitalization made on March this year by 1.4 trillion pesos. Among other relevant topics, we want to highlight the issue last month of International Senior Global Crop Nuts worth 1.47 trillion pesos, equivalent to $500 million. This transaction received order for investors in the United States, Europe, and Latin America. About 60% of the notes were allocated to international investors. This type of transaction allows us to strengthen our presence in the international market while achieving a great diversification of our investors. On the other hand, we securitized 184 billion pesos from our mortgage portfolio as part of our active funding source strategy. Please proceed to slide 7. We continue to improve on the development of digital bank service to our customers. According with the information of the Superintendencia Bancaria, 54% of the monetary transactions made in Colombia from cell phone are performed by the Davivienda customers. Particularly in DaviPlata, we have obtained during the last 6 months 600,000 new users and more than 595,000 downloads of the application since the launch of the La Tecla de la Casita Roja, thus reaching 3.8 million customers in the platform. On September 19, we launched a new service called DaviPlata Global. With this new service, we will support Colombians residing abroad so they can travel in a friendly way. We start operations in the United States, Spain, and Chile, and soon we will be present in more than 25 countries. Now, I leave you with Mr. Ricardo León, our Executive Risk Vice President, who will comment further on the bank's financial results.
Mr. Forero, thank you very much for the introduction. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be able to share with you the financial results for the third quarter of 2017 of Banco Davivienda. On slide number 9, I will refer to the results of the bank's assets. As you can see, the bank's assets closed at 98.6 trillion pesos as of September 2017, which represents a growth of 8.6% compared to the previous year. The growth is mainly explained by the net loan portfolio, which grows at 9.3% in a yearly basis, reaching 75 trillion pesos. The consolidated investment portfolio closed at 9.7 trillion pesos, 2% lower than that reported in June 2017, and an additional 6.3% compared to the September 2016. As can be seen in the lower part of this slide, when we analyze the performance by region, Colombia's assets grew 8.5% in annual terms, reaching 75.9 trillion pesos. On the other hand, the assets of international subsidiaries presented an increase in dollars of 5.7% compared to the same period of 2016. It's important to highlight the exchange rate behavior, where the peso depreciated by 2% in the last 12 months. If we don't consider the effect of the exchange rate for our assets, growth would be 8.1%. I would like to move to slide 10, please. Here, you may observe the behavior of our growth portfolio and its different segments. Today, our peso-denominated portfolio represents 73% of the total portfolio of a vivienda, while the portfolio denominated in dollars represents 27%. The growth portfolio grows 9.2% in yearly basis, in line with our estimated at the beginning of the year. The operation in Colombia presented a growth of 10%, where the consumer and mortgage portfolios stand out. Regarding our international subsidiaries, the growth of this operation was 4.6% in dollars. These growths are in line with our business expectations in Central America, where we have been increasing our participation in the consumer and mortgage portfolio. If we don't consider the effect of exchange rate, the total consolidated portfolio would have grown 8.8%. One of the most important growth of the loan portfolio comes from the consumer portfolio, which had a very good performance in the last 12 months, showing a growth of 13.4%. This portfolio closed with a balance of 20.3 trillion pesos. This growth is supported by our strategy that is focused on credit cards, payroll, and unsecured personal loans. The mortgage portfolio grew 14.4% compared to the same period of 2016, closing at 17.3 billion pesos, presenting a good dynamic in the mortgage portfolio. On the other hand, the commercial portfolio, which has had a moderated performance in the last 12 months, closes with a 5% growth explained mainly by the current economic dynamics in Colombia. The commercial portfolio closed with a total balance of 59.7 billion pesos. I would like to move to slide 11, please. In this slide, we show the performance of the portfolio in terms of risk. As you can see in the first table, 90 days NPA ratio closed for the total loan portfolio in 2.87% as of September 2017, which represents an increase of 74 basis points over the previous year. This is mainly explained by the commercial and mortgage portfolio in Colombia that showed an annual deterioration of 109 basis points and 104 basis points respectively, as a result of the current economic situation observed in the country. If we analyze each segment, the NPL ratio of the commercial portfolio increased from 1.84% to 2.81% during the last 12 months. This is understood as a consequence of the deterioration of some corporate loans in Colombia during the last year. Turning to the consumer portfolio, we observe an annual impairment of 10 basis points, closing at 2.68%, compared to that reported in the same period of 2016. Finally, the 90-day NPL ratio for the mortgage portfolio showed an increase of 89 basis points, closing at 3.23%. Due to a deterioration of special housing mortgage and some leasing for housing clients. Additionally, during the last 12 months, we have securitized mortgage for 771 billion pesos. This fact generates an impairment of 14 basis points. If we discount this effect, the NPL ratio will have been 3.09%. If we look at the mortgage NPL ratio greater than 120 days, it closed at 2.35%, 88 basis points less than the 90 days measure. This ratio shows an annual deterioration of 64 basis points. If we estimate the total NPL ratio including only the mortgage portfolio, but the loans greater than 120 days, the ratio closes at 2.67%, 20 basis points less than the one reported at 90 days. We continue to monitor the causes of impairment of the different portfolios, and we have adjusted some of the origination policies for the higher risk, both in the mortgage and consumer portfolio. If we go over the total reserve coverage ratio, including the provision that we have in the bank equity, we close the third quarter with coverage for the total portfolio of 152%, where we are considering the collateral that we have in the loan portfolio. The total reserve coverage of the commercial portfolio closes at 141%. The consumer portfolio closes at 257%, and the mortgage one at 72%. I would like to invite you to move to slide number 12, please. Here we find the evolution of funding sources, which showed an annual growth of 8%, closing at 82 billion pesos. The consolidated demand deposits totaled 52.6 trillion pesos, presenting a decrease of 3.9% in the quarter, mainly due to a decrease in saving accounts. Term deposits showed the highest growth during the last 12 months, reaching 12.8%. In Colombia, they grew 17.5%. Our international subsidiaries grew 6.4% in funding sources this year. In Colombia, the growth was 7.8% compared to the same period of the previous year. The devaluation effect of the pesos during the last 12 months generates a contribution in the annual growth of funding sources. Please let us move on to slide number 13. We closed the third quarter of 2017 with a solvency ratio of 12.52%, 352 basis points above the regulatory minimum. The Tier 1 closed at 7.80%, 330 basis points above the minimum required. Tier 2 closed at 4.72. Meanwhile, the accounting equity of the bank had an annual growth of 11.8%, closing at 10.5 billion pesos. I would like now to refer to slide number 14. The accumulated net financial margin as of September closed at 2.6 trillion pesos, 5.7% lower than the same period of the previous year. Despite the latter, financial income increased 11.4%, while financial expenses increased by 9.6% and provision by 59.4%. Provisions increase mainly explained by the level of risk in the consumer and commercial portfolio. Compared to the second quarter, we observed a reduction of 5.6% in financial expenses, mainly due to the less pressure of funding rates. On the other hand, the net expenses of allowances increased by 14.1%, mainly due to the deterioration in our commercial and consumer portfolio. On another hand, the 12-month cost of risk reached 2.13% by the end of September, 26 basis points higher than the reported in the previous quarter and 24 basis points more when comparing to the same period in 2016. The 12-month net interest margin showed an increase of 6.4%, 7 basis points more than the one reported in the previous quarter. If we estimate the annualized net interest margin for the quarter, it would be at the level of 6.6% as a result of lower financial expenses during the quarter. Now I would like to refer to slide number 15. Accumulated expenses closed at 2.52 trillion pesos, 12% more than the same period of the previous year. This growth is mainly due to a rise of 8.9% in personal expenses, given an increase in salary, performance, and seniority bonus. Operating expenses also increased 17.2%. Due to the growth in rent expenses of the property that we sold during the last quarter of 2016. If we remove this impact, total accumulated expenses would have grown 11.1% compared to the same period of the previous year. Compared to the previous quarter, personal expenses decreased by 6.6%, and operating expenses increased by 2.9%. The consolidated efficiency closed at 47.3%. The rental expenses of the property that we sold last year represent about 60 basis points of increase in this ratio. To finish with the presentation, I would like to go to slide number 16. We can analyze the bank's net income. The accumulated net income as of September 2017 presented a decrease of 22.4% compared to the same period of 2016, closing at 923 billion pesos. This decrease is mainly due to the increase by 12% in operating expenses that we previously explained, and to the lower financial margin. It is also explained by non-recurring revenues submitted last year, such as the sale of Citin for 57 billion pesos that were recorded in the first half of 2016. If we exclude this effect, the net profit would fall 18.5%. Compared to the previous quarter, net income decreased by 15.7%. The return on average equity reached 14.4%, 247 basis points less compared to the same period in 2016, while the average return on assets was 1.51%. In general, these are the main results of the bank we have prepared for you today. With this, I conclude my presentation. Thank you very much for your attention. And now, we can move on to the question and answer session.
At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Your first question comes from the line of Gabriel Nobrega with UBS.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. We saw your NPL ratio deteriorating in the quarter with the 20 basis points deterioration in the commercial loans. Are you guys seeing any specific problems related to any one company, or do you believe that the worst has passed and we should not see major deteriorations in 2018? And my second question, it's more of your sustainable ROE. You have said in the previous call today that cost of risk should actually remain elevated in 2018, which should in turn pressure your ROE to lower levels. I just want to get a bit more color on what level of sustainable ROE you're expecting to achieve, and when do you expect to actually reach it? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. The NPL ratio increased in this quarter from 2.81 to 2.97 in commercial portfolio, and in the other portfolio we have an additional increase, especially in mortgage. However, in commercial portfolio, maybe the main explosion focus on the massive transportation that had been moving from the normal loan to a portfolio with problems, so that a portfolio increased the NPL ratio in this portfolio. In the consumer, and mortgage is not explained by the general situation. And when we estimate the total provision that we made in this period, in this year, from a specific company, three specific segments like massive transportation and in addition the energy company, that represents something like 200 billion pesos in provision in this quarter. So if we estimate the NPL ratio without these three specific situations, the cost of risk is close to 1.9%, again, versus the 2.13% that we have today. So we explain the deterioration by these three particular situations associated with the level cost of risk that we have today. In the side of ROE,
In the medium term, our focus is to be in 14 to 15% in the medium term. However, this year the I will be around 11%, and maybe we have our close to 12.5% for 2018. So, but it's very important that to highlight that our structural ROE will be around 14 to 15%.
All right, that's very clear. Thank you.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Thiago Batista with Itaú BBA.
Yeah, hi guys. Thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. The first one regarding the bank's margins. How do you see the Davivienda's margins in 18? Do you believe it's possible to see NIMs relatively flattish during next year? And the second question is about loan growth. If you can talk briefly about your expectations of loan growth for next year.
Okay. Related to the margins for 2017, we think that will be around at the same level that we have today, 6.4%, maybe 6.45%. And we think that it's possible to achieve a level of 6.5% for 2018. However, that is it's associated with the behavior of the economy. So between 6.4 to 6.5, we think that it's possible to achieve that level. And in terms of growth, as Mr. Angel Fuego,
I can talk about the growth expected for the bank in the loan portfolio. In general terms, we believe that we are going to have a slow recovery of the economy for the coming year. So we believe that the system is going to grow a little bit better than this year. We expect the operation to grow in Colombia about 10 to 11%. And in Central America, we expect loan growth to grow at the pace of 9 to 10%. In general terms, we believe that that growth is going to be even better in the second semester of the coming year. For this year, we are seeing a very low growth in the system, in the commercial loans. Maybe it is going to close very close to zero. And for Davivienda in Colombia, the commercial loan portfolio maybe is going to grow at the rate of 3 to 4% at the end of the year. That is mainly related with the different problems that the country is facing, mainly with the growth of the economy and particularly with the situation of the infrastructure project 4G.
Okay. Thank God for the answer. Can I make one very brief clarification? I didn't understand correctly when you said about profitability for next year in the previous question. How much do you said about the ROE in 2018?
In terms of the cost of risk that we have today, it's 2.13%. But I would think that at the end of the year will be around 2.6%. As Mr. Correa said, in the first semester of 2018, we think that the portfolio will go on with credit deterioration. So we think that the cost of risk would be around 2.5-2.6%. Because maybe we have expectation about the deterioration of the consumer and the portfolio will be in control in the second part of the year, because we made some decision 6 to 6, 9 months before, but the result of that impact in the portfolio is possible to see in the second part of the year, not in the first semester. And the ROE, respect to the ROE will be around at the end of the year 11%, 11.2%, and it's possible to achieve next year a level between 11.5 to 12.5%.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Nicolas Riva with Citi.
Yeah, thanks, Efrain, for taking my question. I have a question on credit quality. Before you said, you gave some of the reasons why the NPL ratio increased 20 basis points in the quarter. You spoke about the mass transportation companies in the commercial book. Now, with the loan growth decelerating, and we saw only 1% quarter-on-quarter loan growth this year, and with economic growth still moderate, what's your outlook for the NPL ratio in the fourth quarter this year, but also next year? Thanks.
The ratio for NPL at the end of the year was estimating a level of 3.1%, maybe with more in consumer portfolio. Right now, we're 2.7%, and we think that it's possible to finish around 2.95%. In commercial portfolio, maybe additional 15 basis points, and in mortgage portfolio, right now we're in 3.2%, and we think it's possible to finish around 3.3%. And for the next year, we are estimating our level close to, in average, to 3%.
Efrain, can you repeat what's your guidance for the consolidated NPL ratio for the fourth quarter this year, for the whole loan book?
Yes, I would say that we expected a projection of 3.4 for the whole portfolio at the end of the year.
3.04.
3.04, okay. So up about 15 basis points from now, okay, for the fourth quarter this year. And for next year?
Well, it's about the same level. We expect to have the same results.
Okay. And one more thing, with these projections for the NPL ratio, because one thing that we noticed is that your coverage of 90-day NPLs is just about 100%. Which is a bit lower than the coverage ratios that we see for some of the other Colombian banks. And your cost of credit right now, if I take the first 9 months of the year, it's running at about 2.6% of average loans, which is higher than last year, and also higher than the kind of historical average for Davivienda. Do you see room for that to drop, for the cost of risk to drop next year, and more or less how much?
We think that the cost of risk for the next year will be around 2.6%, almost in the same level. We have a view that during the first semester we carry a portion of the deterioration that we have during the year. So we think that it's possible to have a level of 2.6% for 2018.
Okay, so flat versus this year. Okay, thanks very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Alonso Aramburu with BTG.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. Just a follow-up on asset quality. Can you give us a figure of how much more provisioning needs to be done for Electric Caribe and the mass transportation system, and whether that level of provisioning will continue into 2018? And a second question on expenses. At the beginning of this year, you guys were talking about growing expenses below double-digit growth. Even if you exclude the additional rental expenses, it's growing double digits. I mean, how should we think about expenses into 2018? Can you grow expenses below 10% next year?
Maybe the second part of your question, expenses. This year we have different effects as a result of our rent of the property. So the growth of expenses is around the operation expenses 11%. However, for the next year, we are thinking to reduce the growth of the operating expenses below 10%.
Now I would ask Reynaldo Romero to answer the question related with the provision of the Electric Caribe and the other clients that we have in special condition.
Morning. The structure in Electric Caribe is similar to 254,000 pesos in this moment, and our provision is equal to 68%. We are expecting in the next month for the solution of the government to solve the problem of Electric Caribe, and if the situation is similar in the next year, we are expecting to increase the provision at 80% in the third quarter of 2018. In the case of massive public transportation, we are expecting in the next month that the mayor of Bogota pronounce about the solutions to the operators, and we are evaluating statement of the risk if possible to depend on the solution that the government gives us.
Okay, thank you. And are you still provisioning for Ruta del Sol, or is that level of provisioning completed?
No, in Ruta del Sol we are a low provision at this moment because we are expecting to ANI and the government pay with the resource available in the trust in this moment, the trust of the project, and we are expecting that the final of 2017 we have received approximately 50% of the outstanding actually, and the rest of the outstanding we are expecting receiving the next 5 years with resource of the Republic of Colombia. In this moment, we are not, we don't have a high provision in this case.
According with the information that we received from the ANI, we can expect from the coming days to be receiving about 60% of the total loan that we have in 2002, and as Reynaldo mentioned before, the 40% will be paid in 5 years with the interest rate equivalent to inflation.
Okay, great. So is it fair to say that all of these specific provisions will be completed by the end of this year, and you start 2018 a little bit with a clean sheet?
Okay.
Related with Ruta del Sol, we expect not to have any provision in the, maybe for the contrary, we will be releasing the provision that we actually have for that loan. With the other Electric Caribe and with the, in general terms, with the situation that we are facing with the mass transportation system of different cities in Colombia, maybe we will have to see how things are going to be evolved and make the provision according with the risk that we will have to face in the year 2018. Now we learn that Unión Fenosa is going to sell its participation in Gas Natural in Colombia, and they are speaking with the government trying to solve the solution in better terms with Electric Caribe. That might be a new situation that we will have to analyze, and we're expecting that conversation to see how it's going to find the result in some positive news for Colombia and for all of us that are involved with the Electric Caribe. And as Reynaldo mentioned, in the mass transportation system, we would have to work in different cities to see how it evolves. We have several customers in that sector, and maybe if things go well, we won't have to make provision, but at this moment, we cannot mention about 2018 with the exact amount how the provision will behave for the coming year.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Mayara Riddlebus with Wells Fargo.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I'm looking at your coverage ratio that you presented last quarter for 2Q17. And when you presented it last quarter, it was like at 101%. And this quarter, I see in your presentation 99.8% for the same period. trying to understand what changed, if you could explain what changed the ratio between these two quarters in 2Q.
Okay, the coverage ratio has to include not only the provision that goes through the P&L, but also the reserve that we have in our equity account. So in the page 11 of the presentation, you could see the coverage that includes the both effects. The total coverage is 151.9%. In the last quarter was 156.6%. The effect in mortgage is a reduction in the coverage ratio, but also we are including the mortgage portfolio, the collateral that we have in this portfolio, and the same thing happened in the commercial portfolio. However, we said that we feel comfortable in the level of 140% in commercial and about 70-75% in mortgage. And so we think that this level, 150-51, is the regular level that we will have in the coverage ratio for the near future.
And for the 2Q, was there any restatement on the 2Q numbers? Because even for your total reserve coverage, I'm getting a different coverage level between what you're presenting now and what you presented last quarter. So I just wanted to understand if was there any restatement.
The point is that the coverage depends on what collateral we have in each portfolio, in each loan. So it depends on the quality of collateral, it could be increasing a little bit or reducing a little bit. So in the structure of a portfolio, the coverage that we have today define the feeling that we have to cover the risk that we have in our credit portfolio.
All right, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. There appears to be no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Forero for any closing remarks.
Thank you very much. I want to thank all of you for being with us today in this presentation. We are facing the difficulties of the results in the economy and these particular cases that we have mentioned, but at the same time we feel that we are behaving in the right way and according with our expectations. This quarter we went to the market and we placed these bonds that were really very well received by all the investors, $500 million in global pesos, which allow us to know that we have a very good attraction for investors for our bank. That commits us a lot to do all the different efforts to increase our efficiency and the management of risk and to have the bank growing as it's been growing and behaving within the past year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.